This is Digital Dave, and I have no idea where that clip came from.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and I'm loving that.
And we are joined by Mr. Neil Morrison, who has the honor of being a B-17 pilot. Say it with me. B-17.
But look how young I am.
Yes. How did you manage that? That airplane keeps you young?
No, the gray hair is all in place. But yeah, it's a real privilege to be on that crew. There's about 10 of us EA pilots flying that thing.
That's got to be
this
quite
is aluminum overcast.
That's correct. The company EAA. Airplane, if
yeah,
you will.
The company airplane. The biz jet of the era.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me when aluminum overcast goes over, just how musical that airplane sounds.
You know, when we started flying out of Appleton a few years ago instead of basing here for our rides, we were wondering how that'd work out. It's been the best thing because we get to take the 10 people that we have flying along down the flight line, make a turn, come back. The people on the grounds are seeing a B-17 go overhead every hour or so. And the only thing that interrupts that is the air show in the afternoon. But in the mornings, you can count on us flying down the flight line at 1,500 feet AGL.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Many times.
Longingly.
And I might add, every time I see aluminum cast go over, I stop and take a look and listen.
Yeah, those engines, and that same sort of engine is on the T-28s. And when you see that multi-ship T-28 program, you hear that pop, a pop, pop, pop. That's just a beautiful sound. That's because it's a 9-cylinder engine. So we have 4 1,200 horsepower 9-cylinder radials, and they're huge cylinders. And the exhaust collects into one, and it gives you that beautiful, beautiful tone.
Yeah, the T-28's not a beautiful tone. I'm sorry.
It just
I like
clatters.
That.
Raucous.
I like that crackle. Yeah.
The B-17 sings.
It does. We go to an air show every year, World War II weekend, and they have a 17 there, and it's just pure music.
Yeah, when we're flying over, we're only burning about 160 gallons an hour, and so we're turning RPMs about 1,800 RPM, and those props are about a 2-to-1 reduction, nearly 16-to-9. So those props, if they look like they're barely turning, it's because they're barely turning.
Wow, they're flying in economy mode.
Definitely economy cruise.
Yeah, we pay the retail price on gas most places we go, you know, so we en route plan that thing at 200 gallons an hour and times the whatever, $6 a gallon, whatever.
Wow.
How's the airplane been for reliability?
Amazingly super good. It was built for the rigors of war, so as an airframe, here we are. Today's the birthday of the B-17. July 28th, 35 is when the first B-17, the model 299 flew.
299, right.
Yeah. So what a day. Thanks for having me in on this day.
There you go.
They built that airplane to last through the war.
Right.
But they built it for the rigors of war. So when you're around it, take a look. We usually, when we park doing ground tours, we have the bomb bay doors open. Or if you're inside the airplane, when you're going from the radio room to the cockpit, you're going through the bomb bay. And take a look at that truss system that's in there, the wing spar, if you will. It's a bridge-type truss, and it's so massive that, again, that serves us well here 79 years later that we're still flying the thing because it was built for the rigors of war.
Well, you also never, ever get anywhere near its max gross payload.
We're about 20,000 pounds less than wartime, and who knows what they did on those days where the big pushes occurred, where it's like we're putting up 600 airplanes, 800 airplanes, and we need to do a maximum bomb load on those. They'd fill it up with 1,700 gallons of fuel, and they'd put on 6,000 or 8,000 pounds of bombs, and operating off of the paved surfaces, it wasn't grass strip stuff, although the airplane does very well on grass. Out in mostly bases in England, and I can't imagine what it'd be like as a 22-year-old, the oldest guy in the crew, maybe 22, 23, flying that thing, heading out of England, going on a 8-hour mission.
Yeah, when you know it's going to handle like mush.
I've read a lot of stories, too, that on some of the longer missions, they would take a lot of extra ammunition, so it wouldn't surprise me at all if these guys were going out well over max gross weight.
I imagine something I haven't heard as absolute, that it was being driven by the upper echelon that's saying fly it heavy and, you know, get that done. They've tried variations. There was a variation of the airplane that was a gunship, a 14-gun airplane that had literally extra, more than the belts, it had extra ammunition, no bombs. It was just a attack airplane.
It was a flying machine gun.
To protect the formation. Trouble is, it was so heavy that it struggled going out, and if it didn't get into a shooting war, on the way back, it still has all that ammo. The other guys dropped their bombs, so it'd be slow getting back. So that was a failed effort, and that was they built a few of those, and then it was actually a different designation. It was a YB-40, I believe, and they reconverted them back to basic B-17G models. Didn't work out.
Wow.
So it's not just an airplane ride, though. It is literally a step back in time as well.
Yeah. As an airplane ride, it's the best airplane ride out there. And believe me, I love going up in a Stearman or in a Pitts or sightseeing in the Ford Trimotor. It's great. But the airplane has the waist windows that you're looking out of, and you're looking straight down because of the curve. Everybody tours through the airplane. You're up in the bombardier seat, navigator station, cockpit area. And so you're not just fixed in your seat. You're roaming about the airplane once we're safely airborne. And that makes for a tremendous scenic. But yeah, there you're also working your way through a World War II B-17, and there's nothing like that.
Yeah, just be careful where you step.
Yeah, we got some sharp edges, and we got some low overhangs, and there's flight control cables running through the waist. We have not modified it in great amounts to make it OSHA approved, if you will. It is a rugged 1930s designed, 40s flown B-17, and there's oxygen tanks, ammo boxes, low overhangs. So the airplane is very much in its wartime trim.
And that's why it was a young man's business.
It really was. I mean, you think about it, this airplane was flying at commercial airplane altitudes, and it's non-pressurized. They were wearing all kinds of protective equipment, heavy jackets, the Blue Bunny heated suit underneath of it, and they're sucking on oxygen, and the Germans are trying to kill them.
You had to have your oxygen because you're up in the 20s, high 20s for most of the flight. Even the aircraft can go up to 34,000 feet. Those temperatures, we're talking minus 40, minus 50 on the outside air temperatures. And this had a very crude heating system that was primarily to defog, defrost the windows. So it's not like, oh, let me just dial up the heat here. You had the electric suits that you mentioned. And in our airplane, to go through it, and you'll see the very much looking like traditional wall sockets. Different, but nevertheless, it looks like a socket that you see on the wall today where you'd plug in your suit. The oxygen that it carried was all over the place in multiple tanks, so that if it shot out one portion of the system, you weren't without oxygen. And then they had their own bottles, too.
Yeah, they carried a bailout bottle.
And a bailout bottle, you bet. But if you were working on a crew member, there was a injured crew member, they'd had walk-around bottles that you could replenish, so you could render first aid or move about the airplane to do whatever kind of work was done. And that's the interesting, amazing thing is when I hear of a guy that rode the tail down, a broken off airplane, and he was the only guy in the tail of the airplane. He's a tail gunner that came forward and found that he had no airplane, said, well, this would be a good time to bail out. When I heard that story from the gentleman himself, I researched it and found that it happened multiple times. And that's the result of having so many flights every day for so many years, that every possible bad, unbelievable escape situation that you could think of happened multiple times.
Hopefully not to the same guy.
No. Yeah, no kidding.
Well, the numbers are staggering. The survival rate was not a good number. The men would return to their barracks in England and find a lot of empty bunks and beds every single day.
No, the Plessy raids, the casualties on that were 60%.
Isn't that staggering? And I wonder if you could keep friends, because you know you're going to lose those people that are literally next to you.
It had to be tough. And of course, you know, when you watch the old films and everything, every time you see a B-17 in trouble, there's 10 men on board that aircraft.
Mm-hmm. The 8th Air Force suffered losses that were unmatched, and that's not a badge of honor to have, but they're unmatched by any other portion of part of the war effort in World War II.
Wow.
So what's it like to fly this thing?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
you know, during peacetime,
talk about a 22-year-old guy with low time doing it. I'm an airline pilot by trade and been flying a lot, and this airplane will still work you very hard. It is a joy to fly. It's very harmonized controls. It's not a let me put in aileron input and later I'll get a result. No, it's responsive to your inputs. It's heavy though. It's heavy on the flight controls.
Mm-hmm. Heavy on the gas bill.
Heavy on the gas bill, but fun on the ride. I got a ride in a 17 years ago. I stood right behind the pilot watching those Wrights turning over. That was wonderful.
Yeah, we hope people come up and see us, and we're available here to book flights. B17.org is the best way to contact us. And we see a lot of people from New Zealand, Australia, our friends from down under in huge numbers, and we want everyone to come see a ride.
Or take a ride.
Definitely take a ride.
Yep.
It's an experience you will not forget.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Neil Morrison, be careful up there.
Yeah, we'll look definitely longingly upward as you fly over.
Tomorrow I'll wave down at you.
Yeah, please. Rock the wings.
Do that.
All right.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.